We're called off to do things, and we're not quite sure what to expect. I remember when I went off to college, I had no idea what to expect, and turned out it wasn't quite so bad. I went off to an army camp one time, didn't know what to expect, turned out it was pretty bad. when you got saved, what did you expect? That's not the best way to ask that question. A better way to ask that question would be, when you got saved and you decided to serve the Lord, what did you expect? There are some people here in this room that have been called into the ministry and in some capacity, for example. And I remember when I went into the ministry, I wasn't sure what to expect. And then I can remember years later talking to the pastor who was involved in my call and telling him, "Why didn't you tell me what to expect?" Well, and Alan laughs because he knows. The Lord called the disciples and sent them around the nation of Israel to preach the gospel, and then he told them what to expect. And I'm going to show you that today, if I could, in Matthew chapter 10. Now let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read verses 16 down to verse 22. Maybe a little further than that, but at least through verse 22, and we'll have a word of prayer. Listen carefully as I read out loud, and you can follow along silently in Matthew chapter 10. The Bible says in verse 16, this is Jesus talking, of course. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men. For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household?" Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. Help us to see in this passage what we need to see. Lord, I pray that you'd give us wisdom, and God, I pray your Holy Spirit would do what I cannot do today. And Lord, we long for that day when we'll see some visitors come in the back door and be added to our church. But Lord, you've told us to be content with such things as we have. So we thank you today for these that are here. We're thrilled to be able to open the Word of God with them. I pray you'd help each one here, from youngest to oldest, to understand what the Bible says for them. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you joined the military voluntarily? Raise your hand. My hand is up. Okay, I got one, two, three. Is that it? Just three? Okay, you're not in yet, Angela. You may be in the Lord's Army, but not in the other military. Join the Army, and they send you off to a place that they call basic training. Or in my case, it was called ROTC Advanced Camp. And when you get there, the first thing that happens is they're not nice to you. Were they nice to you, brother? Were they nice to you, Mark? And I was thinking to myself, what did I do? I just came here to, I'm volunteered. I'm here to help. Why are you not being nice to me? And I'm sure some of you, my son joined the Navy. He volunteered. And I'm sure when he got to Navy basic training that there were times when they weren't nice to him. I can just picture him walking up to that train, what do they call them in the Navy when they train you? What are those guys' names? Okay, RTCs? Say it again. RTC, okay. walking up to him and saying, "Hey, my recruiter never told me you were going to be mean to me. My recruiter never told me that you were not going to be nice to me and that you were going to make me get up early and make me exercise. I think I'm going to quit." Doesn't work that way, does it? Well, that's not the best illustration, but the Lord told us what to expect. Now, I'm going to do two things this morning. First, I want to show you why we do what we do. And then I want to show you what to expect when we do it. And it's straight out of the Bible, and you will not be able to say, and I've known people that have done this, that they went soul winning one night and nobody got saved, and maybe somebody slammed the door in their face, and they said, "Well, I'm not going back. That didn't do any good at all." Did the Lord call us to go because we were going to see infinite results, or did he just call us to go? Amen? So let's look at this just a little bit here, and let me show you, first of all, why it is that we do what we do if we're doing it for the right reason. And let's look at verse 16 one more time. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Okay? Let's just look at that very first phrase. And we see this throughout the Bible. The Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Matthew 16, 15. Amen? Would you agree with me? First of all, if you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
All right. If you're saved, then you are a child of God. You are a servant of God. Amen? And God, therefore, has a right to give you instructions and to give you a task. And in this passage, he gives them a task. He says, "I send you forth." The Bible tells us to go. First thought, it's not our mission, it's his. Amen? When I was in the Army and they sent us out to a certain position and they said, "Go out there and hold this position," or "Go out there and set up your weapons and shoot this direction," or whatever they told us to do, they didn't come to us and say, "What would you like to do today?" They gave us a mission. Now, I want to ask you, and you think about this just a minute. First question is this: do you know what God's mission is for you? Do you have a mission? You know, when I was in the Army, every day we had orders of the day, and we would have, they had a bulletin board, and they'd put an operations order on that bulletin board, and we knew ahead of time, we knew where we were supposed to be, when we were supposed to be there, what equipment we were supposed to bring, and we knew how long we were supposed to be there, and who was in charge, and all the rest. Folks, we have an operations order right here. I want you to know something. These young people here, if you've received Christ as your Savior, you've got a mission. Amen. Tell your friends about Jesus. These older folks here, I won't label anybody. And the ones in the middle, whoever that might be. If we're saved, we have a mission, don't we? It's not my mission. It's God's mission. I'm sent on that mission. You're sent on that. Would you agree we're sent on that mission? Now, it is true some Christians say, "I'm not going to go." In the Army, deliberate disobedience was punished very severely. In life, when you deliberately disobey your commander, I know there are consequences. There's loss of reward, for one thing. That's just a start. But we all agree we have a mission. God's given us a mission. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. The second thing you're going to see as to why we go or what we do here is we have a message. Look at verse 20. And I'll read verse 27 also in a minute, but look at verse 20. He said, "It is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." And then he says in verse 27, "Preach ye upon the housetops." I told you it's not our mission. It's also not our message. Amen? Now, I like the message. Say, "Pastor, what is the message?" Here's the message. Are you ready? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Whosoever cometh unto me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast him out. Paul said, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The gospel is not baptism. Baptism's good. It's important. We're commanded. He said in Acts 2:38, he said, be baptized, every one of you. But that's not the gospel. It's not our message. It's God's message. Once again, the message is clearly defined in the Word of God. It's not a complicated message. Do you know that a young person over here can win a soul to Christ? My oldest daughter, Elizabeth, witnessed to my brother-in-law when she was 3 years old. She could barely talk. He was wearing a cross. And she went to church. And she knew what the cross was all about. And he had a cross on a necklace on his neck. And she said, do you know what that cross is? And I think in curiosity of what she would say, he asked. And he said, no, I don't know. She said, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That's the message, amen? You've met my brother-in-law. He's been here. He got saved. Hey, if a three-year-old can carry God's message, can we? Amen? Hold that thought. I'll get back to that. It's not our mission. It's not our message. It's not, and I got to use a word that begins with M because we're alliterated here, but I'll explain it. It's not our manner. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. He says, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. For the disciple, he says, the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Now, here's what I'm trying to show you. It's not our mission. It's the Lord's mission. It's not our message. It's his message. And he is our master, and what that means is the way they treated him is the way they're going to treat us. That's what we're going to look at here in just a minute. You say, Pastor, I tried to tell somebody how to get saved, and they laughed at me, or they said something bad about me, or they called me a name, or they mocked me or somehow. Shouldn't surprise you. You must have done a good job if you got mocked, because that's the same thing they did to Jesus. Say, Pastor, they didn't like the message. You must have told it clearly because that's the same thing they did to Jesus. I found out something over the course of my life, and that is, and I'm not taking credit for this necessarily, but I'll say this. As much as your life reflects the Bible, people will treat you the way they treat the Bible. For example, if they ignore the Bible, they'll ignore you. If they hate the Bible, they'll hate you. If they don't care about the Bible, they won't care about you. Now, it doesn't matter about me, but I sure hate it when somebody doesn't care about the Bible, amen? And I sure hate it when somebody doesn't listen to what the Bible has to say. Pastor, I gave them the message, they wouldn't listen to me. You must have done a good job because they didn't listen to Jesus either, did they? So what does Jesus say to these disciples? He sends them out, and he does not, as we say, he doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't make it sound like it's going to be a bed of roses. He starts out, and you can picture this in your mind quite easily. In verse 16, he says, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Can't you picture that? Wolves are vicious animals. You think coyotes are bad, wolves are worse. And they have got sharp teeth. And by the way, they like sheep. They like to eat sheep. And he says, I'm sending you forth just like sheep in the midst of wolves. And then he says, be harmless. In other words, it's not your job to fight back or to hurt them. It's God's job to protect us. Amen? But he sends us forth as sheep amongst wolves. And so look what he says in verse 17. This would be a good subtitle for the message. Beware of men. There are some people here today that if I was to say beware of dog, they'd say, oh yeah, I know about that. One of them at least on the platform. Another one sitting right down there that he won't go 50 feet from a dog unless you tie him to a tree or something. How many of you have been dog bit? My hand is up. Amen? Hurts, doesn't it? How many of you have had stitches because you got dog bit? Not quite so many, all right. How many of you had to have shots because you got dog bit? All right. Dogs are dangerous. Dogs are able to injure you, and they're sneaky. They're sneaky, especially the little ones. He says, not beware of dogs, he says, beware of men. I want you to know something. Men can hurt you. I want you to know something. Men can bite you. Not in a literal sense so much, but in a relative sense, in a pictorial sense. So what does Jesus say to the disciples? And here, let me just make this really clear to you, okay? First of all, would you agree Jesus gave us a mission? Amen? Go. Secondly, he gave us a message. Amen? And he also gave us a manner. We're to be as he was, and we're to do things the way he did things. And so we're expected to be treated and received the way they received him. So I'm not going to tell you this is an easy thing. I'm just telling you, this is what Jesus said. First of all, he said, go. And then he said, it's dangerous. And he said, some things are going to happen that might surprise you. Let me show you what those are. But let me say it before I do that. When you go, and when men hate you, when you go, and when men take you to court or throw you in prison like they did Peter and like they did Paul, or when you go and one of your family members rises up against you and rebels against you, and in this case even has people apparently executed, they're talking about actual execution. When you go and people don't receive you, that doesn't mean you're doing the wrong thing, does it? You understand what I'm saying? When you go and it's not easy, that doesn't mean it's not what God wants you to do. You ever watch water? If you see a flood, a big rainstorm comes on top of the mountain, and the water will always take the easiest path down. It'll find the lowest spot. And that's just the way it works. You never saw the water climbing over the mountains, did you? Because water takes the easy route. Folks, Christians don't take the easy route. We take the route God gave us. Say, Pastor, it's not easy. Well, I guess Jesus was right, wasn't he? Look what he says here. Let's look at three things that are going to happen. He says in verse 17, he says, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Now, that is a form of prosecution, we'll call it. Very few of you have had the occasion to do so. I have been in court as a representative of our church. It was normally had to do with some kind of a financial matter. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about somebody throwing you in jail because you preach the gospel. You know some people it happened to, the Apostle Paul, Peter, others. They beat Paul, and they shouldn't have done that, by the way. They didn't have a right to because he was a Roman citizen. They put Peter's feet in stocks. Oh, that wasn't the first time that happened. Joseph, he got thrown in prison. Folks, I want you to know something. Persecution or prosecution, that use of the government against Christians, is alive and well today. I guarantee you today, while you sit here comfortable in an air-conditioned building and enjoy the quiet and the safety of... The only thing we would think about in terms of the police is if something bad happens, we can call them to protect us. But today, if you were in China, for example, there are house churches in China meeting today, and they are sitting there worshiping the Lord, knowing that the police could come in and arrest them at any point in time. I had a dental assistant working on me one time in Salt Lake City, and we got to talking about persecution, and she said she used to live in Saudi Arabia, was there on some kind of a governmental assignment of some sort, and that there were Philippine people that would come to Saudi Arabia to be servants, to work for those folks over there. And the Philippine people were Christians. And in Saudi Arabia, the Philippine people that were Christians would meet, and she said then they would just disappear. And no one knew what happened to them. They had nobody to fight for them or to complain about it or whatever. I guarantee you that there were Philippines that were martyred in Saudi Arabia because they were Christians and not Muslim. Now, that's happening today. Don't think it's not. I told you the story, I won't be long-winded, but of the man from Syria that I heard preach in July, and he told us stories of Christians in Syria dying a martyr's death because they wouldn't renounce Christ. I have to just ask the question, don't answer it, don't think about it too hard, but if they threw you in jail today and said renounce Christ or die, what would you do? Amen. No, it's not. We don't expect people to pat us on the back and say, oh, thank you for bringing us the gospel. Jesus says that's not the way it's going to be. There's going to be prosecution. People are going to be taken to court. And then look at something interesting in verse 17. It says they're going to scourge you in their synagogues. What's a synagogue? That's a place where people that worship God meet. Wait a minute. You mean people that worship God can scourge people? Oh, yeah. The fact of the matter is, have you heard of the Inquisition that the Catholic Church conducted? Do you understand? There is a little book called The Trail of Blood, which records the record of the groups of people that were dying a martyr's death because they would not renounce their faith and become Catholics. There have been millions of souls throughout history that have been killed by people that claim to be religious. So don't be surprised when it happens again. So, Pastor, we should honor all religions. Hogwash. Amen. It's not a Bible word, it's just a word. No, you don't honor all religions, you honor the truth. And the truth is right here. Amen? Now, there's going to be prosecution, people that are legally challenged by government. Look at verse 21. He says, brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father the child. Children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. That's execution. You say, well, Pastor, would the Lord let somebody be executed because they were a Christian? Oh, yeah. I can think of one right now that died on a cross for my sins. Amen. Prosecuted by the civil government, executed by him. Why? Because men hated him. Because men chose their religion rather than a Savior. Amen. You got to make that same choice. Are we here because of our Savior or because of a religion? Somebody asked me the other day, what religion are you? I don't really care for that word religion. I believe the Bible. That's where I start. I'm a Baptist because Baptists have historically believed the Bible. But I'm a Christian because I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it says that there are going to be people that claim to be religious that are going to, they're going to execute you. And then there are families that are going to cause this execution as well in verse 21. Then look at verse 22. Now this is interesting. He says, and ye shall. What does the word shall mean? Maybe? No. Possibly? No. Shall. It's going to happen. This is interesting. A phrase here. It says, ye shall be hated. Now look at this. Of all men. So I expected some people to hate me. Now there's a lot of people that are going to hate you if you go on God's mission and give God's message in God's manner. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to hate you. It will surprise you who they are sometimes. Sometimes they're church members. Sometimes they're family members. Sometimes they're employers or employees or fellow workers. I find this humorous a little bit. Yeah, you seen the comic strip BC? Remember the old comic strip BC? I haven't read the comics in years, but you remember BC, the caveman? Well, what was it, Hart was the guy that drew that? Gary Hart, I think was his name, Hart, something Hart. And he was a Christian. And so on Easter, he drew a BC comic, and what it did was it showed BC riding his little unicycle stone thingy, you know, and he goes up to... He rides and rides and rides, and he comes up to a tomb, and the stone's been rolled away, and the tomb's empty. And what he was reminding us of is Jesus rose from the dead. I thought, that's well done. And this was back in the 90s. I took a picture of it, and I scanned it into my computer, and I made it my screensaver so that when I was not there, anybody walked by my computer, they saw the empty tomb. That's pretty nice. Came back about a week later, it was gone. Somebody didn't want to look at that every day. Somebody didn't want to be reminded of Christ's resurrection. I like Christ's resurrection, amen? That's as good as it gets. Somebody said, no, we don't like that too well. And folks, if you stand up and give the message, if you relate, if you portray, if you communicate the message God gave us, people are going to hate it. They have that. They've made that choice. Okay, I got to finish. I'm out of time. Let's look real quick at one more thing. In verse 23, we'll be done. Now again, it doesn't say if, it says when. When they persecute you in this city, quit. Is that what it says? When they persecute you in this city, stop preaching. Does it say that? No, what does it say? When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. And then he goes on and talks about what's going to happen with them. But here's the point. Folks, we're not quitters, amen? Hey, pastor, I witnessed to somebody and they were mean to me. I don't want to do that anymore. That's not the kind of Christian that God needs, that God wants to use. Amen? Now, I got some good news for you. The very men he was preaching to, subsequently after he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, saw thousands of people get saved. But the first thing he told them, and the first thing you and I need to remember is this. If we go on the mission that God gave us, and if we give the people the message that God gave us, and if we do it in the manner that God said to do it, don't expect everyone to pat you on the back and say, good job. Expect some resistance. Expect some persecution. Expect some prosecution. Expect some people to hate you. But that's okay, because listen to me, and this makes it all worthwhile. There may be some people that hate you, but there's a God that loves you. Amen. We're going to look at that part of it next week. And there's a God that loves you, and don't miss next week, because this part two of this message, I got good news for you next week. And that is, when God before us, if God before us, who can be against us? Amen? Amen. And you know what I found out? Even when people hate you, even when people persecute you, even when people talk about you behind your back, even when people attack you, even when people do that kind of thing, Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You believe that? Yeah. Then stay on the mission. Keep giving the message. And when they treat you, listen to me carefully, this is important and I'm done. When they treat you the way they treated him, you know you're doing a good job. And one day, he's going to reward you for it. Great special this morning, brother. Who's going to go to the field? Someone says, it's hot out there. Hey, it's getting cooler. 90s this week. That's like wintertime, right? Somebody says, there's people out there that are mean. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. Somebody says, well, they won't like what I tell them. That's what Jesus said. Well, somebody says, well, pastor, they might hurt me. That's what Jesus said. Let's go anyway, amen? Amen? Tuesday at what time, brother? 6 o'clock. Say, pastor, I can't be here Tuesday at 6. You know what I found out? Something really neat. These things don't have an expiration date on them. I was in a scrapyard last week, and I thought I had struck gold. There was a box full of coupons. $1 off a hamburger. I can live the rest of my life just out of this box right here. And then I picked one of them up and it said, oh, it's expired in July. Oh. There's no expiration date in the gospel, amen? You can't be there at 6. The gospel can. Give them a track. Amen? What if everybody here, everybody took some tracks and handed them out this week? Amen? You know, I'm going to show you, it's really easy to hand out a tract. You want to see? Watch this. It's a breeze, amen? Why don't we all do that this week, amen? And oh, by the way, talk to Brother Crosno about it. You can say a few words when you do. And tell him why you gave him that track. I gave you that track so you can give it to somebody else, by the way, because I know you're saved already. But let's get the gospel out, amen? Pastors are not going to like it. I know that's what Jesus said. They're going to persecute me. They're going to prosecute me. There's going to be some trials. Yep, that's what Jesus said. Let's go anyway, amen? Let's all stand and pray.